And while they are being dismissed, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would descend upon your people and enliven us. Please give us your grace, power, and guidance. Please help us to see where we currently are, that we may be here on earth, but that you, along with your angels and saints, spiritually surround us as that great cloud of witnesses. May we worship and bow down before you like your angels and saints in heaven. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great sacrifice on the cross that allows your people to receive such marvelous grace and forgiveness so that we can be connected to you. All this frees us from our lives of boredom, futility, and despair. Thank you, Lord. Today, have us leave this place having met you by your holy word and all of your amazing ways, mercies, and graces. May we by this grace be filled with joy in your calling to follow you all the days of our lives. All this we ask in Jesus' most holy name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Please open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. So, it is often said that great teachers repeat themselves all the time. I do not claim to be a great teacher, but I'll readily admit that I frequently repeat myself for a purpose. And in this last week, I have been asking myself a simple question over and over and over and over again. This question has been prompted somewhat by the fact that often during the Advent and Christmas seasons, many people either return to church for the first time in a while, or perhaps come into a church for the first time ever. The question that I've been asking repeatedly is also prompted by the witness of John the Baptist, who shows up in our gospel reading today. Here, the Holy Scriptures tell us that John the Baptist came to bear witness to the light. This means that he came to testify and give witness to Jesus. In all of this, we need to realize that when we read and proclaim the Holy Scriptures, it is not the retelling of what occurred a long time ago, but it has to do with you and me today. Because the reality is that every one of us, by virtue of our calling and baptism, is entrusted with the responsibility of telling others about Jesus. One of the main essence of being a Christian is to evangelize. That is telling people about God. And all of this prompts the question that has been going through my mind repeatedly, over and over and over again. And the question that I keep asking myself, and now I'll finally ask you too, is this. Why should anyone follow Jesus? Why should anyone follow Jesus? What do we get out of it? Do you have, my friends, here and now, a convincing answer to that question for those who live around us and for those who live around you? Can you and I articulate convincingly and attractively why anyone should join us in following Jesus? Lest you think that I'm just overly zealous, my friends, the Apostle Peter, by the guidance of God, also asks us to be prepared to answer that question. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3:15. We should expect that people that we would evangelize would ask that question. It is a logical question. Why should they follow Jesus? And you and I should be able to answer that question, because you and I live in a world that is constantly evangelizing people. They just are not evangelizing for Jesus. Instead, they evangelize to get people to go golfing, to use some Apple products. People evangelize others to take advantage of the sales at Hy-Vee, to try out some miracle cream that supposedly reduces wrinkles. People evangelize other people and encourage people to support Vermeer or Pella Windows, or to go to a great school like the University of Michigan. Friends, we are constantly evangelizing. We are always giving out some invitation to come and follow, saying that this is the way, or that is the way, or there is a sale. This thing will make your life better, or here is something fun to do. And people go. And we should expect people to ask us, why? Why should I follow Jesus? And we, you and me, should be able to give a logical and attractive understanding to that very question. Imagine for a moment that you and I are celebrating this worship service not in Pella, Iowa, but in Iraq or Syria or China or parts of Africa. What answer would you and I give to our neighbors in Iraq or Syria or Africa or China? How would you respond if they asked us why they should follow Jesus? What would they get out of it? Because it looks like what they would get out of it is this: displacement from their homes, loss of the things that they hold most dear, and possibly death, maybe a horrific one. And yet, the Christian faith, the Christian church grows there, and it is growing by leaps and bounds there. Do you ever wonder why? Now, maybe some of us would say that those people who live over there are simple-minded, uneducated, and somewhat prone to believe in myths and fairy tales. Are we sure about that? But of course, we don't live in places like China and Africa. We live in Pella, Iowa, which is, by all statistical metrics, very well off compared to many places worldwide, including in America. So what answer would we give to the question, why should I follow Jesus, to the people in Pella, Iowa, and the surrounding area? First, let's say what we don't get by following Jesus. We do not get magically rescued from all the problems that all the rest of humanity faces. We do not get health, wealth, and prosperity here on earth. Only false teachers, pastors, prophets, and so-called apostles teach such ridiculous things. And it isn't very intelligent or reasonable to follow such teachings or people. Friends, even though sometimes God does the miraculous and cures people who are sick, and he does, in general, we are not spared sickness, illness, or poverty. We do not get spared the loss of our jobs. We are not spared the consequences of our bad choices. We do not get spared the loss of loved ones. You and I, Christians, are prone to everything that everyone on earth is prone to. Again, even though sometimes God does the miraculous, praise be to God. But Christians don't get a genie in the bottle that comes out at our beck and call to give us our wishes here on earth. And we probably, increasingly so, my friends, in the years ahead, will not get respect. In fact, we will be called bigots, ignorant, simple-minded, downright stupid, or the three kind of insults that people nowadays accuse others of being: racist, sexist, and Nazis. Christians are more commonly be called such things, even here in America and in Pella, and even though they are all absolute lies. But hey, with all that in mind, do you want to join yet? Do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to join God's church? Do you want to follow Jesus? Friends, what do we get by being a Christian and following Jesus? What do we get? If you could see all your faces right now, it might be telling. What do we get? Here is a simple way to answer that question, given our reading of Holy Scripture today and what the name of Jesus means. The main reason that God came in the flesh, that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, came, is to give his people the gracious gift of salvation. In biblical times, names that were given, not because they sounded nice, names that were given during the time of Jesus and before had deep meaning. And here is what the name of Jesus means. God saves. The name of Jesus means God saves. And that right there is a great place to start in telling people what we get in following Jesus. People who are called by God and follow Jesus get salvation. But what does that mean? Salvation means deliverance from the molestation of our enemies. Ultimately, salvation gives us deliverance from the powers of sin, Satan and his minions, hell, eternal damnation, and in the end, salvation from death. But for many of us, death might be a long way off, which might not attract us right now. So, what do we get now? Why should anyone who is 15, 18, 21, 28, 35, or 40 choose to follow Jesus? Well, salvation, or being saved, also means a certain type of health. And I would suggest three biblical things or ways that Jesus brings health into our lives here and now. For Jesus brings health to our intellect, to our will, and to our hearts. First of all, your and my intellect. To choose to follow Jesus, which is to invite him into our lives to rule entirely, to decide to surrender every aspect of our lives to God. That right there increases Christian faith in God's people. Faith is a gift from God, and that faith is a light. True Christian faith is not blind, my friends. Faith is, in fact, a way of knowing. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2:6. To have true Christian faith enables God's people to see reality as it actually is, to know the truth of how things truly are and are not. Christian faith helps us to realize why you and I are here, where we are going, and how to get there. Faith gives us a clear lens through which to know what life is truly about. The great gift of true Christian faith, given to us by God, gives us all of that and so much more. Following Jesus enables you and me to understand reality. Following Jesus also tremendously helps you and me internally in our will. To follow Jesus, surrender my life to him, and to decide to live as his disciple means having access to unimaginable supernatural power. And that right there enables you and me to change as God desires. Have you ever had a sibling, friend, or parent say to you, or maybe you have said it about others, "Well, you know, that's just Jeff. That's the way he is. He's always gonna be that way." Friends, that's not true. It's just not true. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:17 and 18. people in Christ can and do grow and change by the knowledge of God. One of the main essence of the Christian life means that you and I can change. Other people can change. We do change. We can be transformed. We can become an entirely new creation, as the Holy Scriptures tell us. Yes, you and I will still have battles. Yes, we still struggle and fight against the sin in our lives. Yes, you and I will still fall. Yes, you and I will still battle with temptation. We will still encounter all those challenges and much more. But suddenly, after having true Christian faith and striving after the knowledge of God and His holy word, I have at my disposal, and you have at your disposal, alive inside of us, the gift of the Holy Spirit and His power. This means that our wills can be changed so that we will stop from falling prey to sin and begin to live a life of godly holiness, justice, and virtue. This means that you and I can live in freedom excellently, even though you and I will continue the struggle with freedom. That right there is one of the great things we get from following Jesus today. And lastly, following Jesus, deciding to surrender my life to God, living as Jesus' disciple, and welcoming Him into my heart brings healing to my heart and to your heart, because it overwhelms us with the experience of being loved by God. And we, God's people, Christians, are loved by God. Not for any accomplishment or work or any achievement. Not for anything external. Not for anything that I make. Not for how I look. Not for my health. Not for my titles. Not for my degrees. Not for anything. God just loves you and me. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you. And that right there enables you and me to love others. Not just the people I like, but most especially the people that I don't like. A friend of mine once put it this way. He said, "A life apart from God is not only spiritually impoverished, it is intellectually bankrupt. Such a life offers nothing for the ultimate desires of the human being. Life for them becomes an endless array of diversions and distractions aimed after their senses, which ultimately leaves them bored. The truth is, as he put it, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the one supremely fascinating being alive. And to know Him, follow Him, and invite Him into every aspect of our lives is to experience the fullness of abundant and everlasting life even now." In these days, in the season of Advent, as we prepare ourselves to gaze upon the great gift of Jesus in the manger, let's pray for the grace to experience that, to experience God's abundant and eternal life even now. May we experience His salvation, experience health in our intellect, will, and heart, and be overwhelmed by the reality of who God is, what great mission He is calling us to, and that through it all, we are loved. Let's pray for the grace to demonstrate that and proclaim that to the people we live among and work among. And let's pray that God would give us the words to articulate reasonably and beautifully why anyone should follow Jesus. May you and I, like John the Baptist, rightly give a testimony and witness to the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.